Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And of course, as it's Monday, it's got to be Edwin. Hi Edwin, how are you going?
You know, Martin, we got to Mars.
Now my question is, how soggy are your slippers?
How sloppy are my slippers? The slippers are okay, it's the moccasins. My favourite moccasins, they keep on... I know they seem to be mistaken for the party these days. I don't know why, but don't know what might have to do a bit with the scent. Who knows? But all I know is that we got to Mars. Yeah, we've actually got to Mars, Martin. We can't fix voting machines or the hedonic imputation, or daily imputations and auction clearance rates. But we got to Mars. How's that?
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? And it's quite interesting watching the delay between, what's happening on Mars and what's happening back on the control console. Reminded me of certain indices I'm aware of.
Well, that's what I mean. Like we haven't got the hedonics up to scratch, but again, I'm just flabbergasted. It's a feat. It's almost like I guess when our parents saw. The moon landing, if it happened. I don't know, I'm not sure.
Well,
I'm just putting it out there.
I can tell you, Edwin, I was old enough to actually sit through the moon landing, so you know, it was pretty real to me.
I don't know, the question, I saw a couple of movies after that, and I'm all confused, as the hedonics generally are, and also the auction clearance rates. But didn't you just love the tweet that Louis put out a week or so ago with regards to the auction clearance rates? Pretty soon, we're going to get to 115%, 120% clearance
exactly.
rate if we keep on tallying the numbers up the way that we've been doing, or the domain's been doing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I always come back to Louis' numbers that are actually much closer to reality, and, they are somewhat lower than the spruce ones from other sources. But it's interesting, Edwin, I gather you have to now go in disguise because you basically have a crocodile of people following you about when you go inspecting property.
Yeah, it was rather interesting. The way I inspect properties is a lot different than what a lot of people do, Martin. And, I'm touching walls, feeling for dampness and checking for cracks in the ceilings and everything else, in the little time that's given at the open for inspections. That's when I do attend the ones at the open homes on Wednesdays or Saturdays. But I seem to be getting a whole group of people that follow me, and if I look up, they look up. If I look down, they look down. I'll get one of my associates to do a video, and it'll be an interesting interesting video, to say the least.
Well, it sounds very interesting. I've got another alternative suggestion. Why don't you offer to give guided tours, right? And you can have a crocodile of people, they can pay you a few dollars each, right? And you can take them all through the property and you can point out all of the flaws.
Well, I guess, it could be done. Again, we've got to Mars, so I guess it's not an impossibility. It's just one of those things. You got to try it, but I sort of tend to value my life a little bit still, Martin, and I don't want to be chased out of homes just yet or being thrown off balconies by the selling agents.
No, fair enough. Well, talking about agent shenanigans, there's still a lot going on, isn't there?
Oh, look, there is, Martin. There is a lot of shenanigans going on. It's like watching... Dusty and Evan invade my cup of coffee and then be all over the place. They got in a coffee hide the other night, and I'm putting it out there for all those people that want to report me to the authorities. Hey, I didn't feed it to them. They just jumped on the table, and before I knew it, they were into the cup, and they was up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, attending to crawling up and down the bloody walls in the lounge. They wouldn't go to sleep. But yeah, look, that's just as interesting as watching all these shenanigans out on Twitter, Martin. The you know, the first one, I guess, is the, you know, when you get a price guide being quoted, and I did put it out to Fair Trade in New South Wales to see if they'd answer the question as to, you know, when is a property on the market, when the, you know, particularly when you get given a guide of 1.3 and the bidding's already at 1.65, and the auctioneers turn around to the selling agents and ask numerous times if the property is on the market. I would have thought at 1.3 the property was on the market, or let's give it 10%. But when you start talking about 30% rises or 25% rises, and you have to ask the vendor's agent if the property is on the market, you know that the shenanigans that go on.
Right, and my suspicion is you won't have heard from Fair Trade New South Wales. They do seem to be missing in action rather at the moment.
Look, unfortunately, they are, and that's the unfortunate thing. As George would have shared with yourself and shares with us on Twitter as well from ITC, they're caught up with the new requirements, the changes to the regulations and the compliances that agents have to adhere to. But a lot of that has got to do with, I would say, looking back at underquoting, and also looking at yeah, things such as material fact and how livable is a property really meant to be before you can you can lease it out. I'd say we're going to be hearing more stories of houses, particularly because they're in high demand. Home rentals, not apartment rentals, but home rentals are in very high demand. And you know, in some cases, I'm still being told that there's, you know, 20, 30 people deep applying for home rentals. Why? Because of the lifestyle changes that people are making, moving away from paying $550, $600 a week for a two-bedroom apartment in Parramatta to going further out west and leasing a property. But this is where the authorities really need to get a handle and be on top of it, because we're gonna go back to the days where people were renting out properties that were absolutely dilapidated with all sorts of issues, asbestos, lead paint, you know, peeling away from the walls, mold, particularly mold, you know, and everything else, and the landlord's not attending to these, but yet they've been let out. Why? Because of the high demand, whereas apartments are being left behind and the vacancy rate has increased.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you saw the Domain article, which was focused actually in on Melbourne, but basically making the point that apartments close to the university suburbs are just being taken to the cleaners. You know, the rentals are way down, vacancy rates are way down, prices are way down, and nobody really wants them.
No, and that's a lifestyle change that you and I have been talking about. I mean, we brought that up January, late January, early February last year. We pegged it, and we pointed out that, you know, the lifestyle changes that people would be making because of the uncertainty. We're still moving forward with a lot of uncertainty, regardless of what vaccines are going to be rolled out. You know, there's chatter all over the place as to how, and I'm not going to get into it because I'm not an epidemiologist. There are major concerns around it. Is it effective? Is it going to keep up with the you know, the different mutations? All I know is from WeChat chatterers is the equivalent of the CMO in China. It basically told the people there, learn to live with it. Learn to live with it, get healthy, stay healthy, exercise, social distance as much as possible. Don't go out and do all sorts of crazy things. And you know, stay indoors as much as you can. And if you're feeling sick, stay home. Don't put the rest of the community at risk. That's what they've said there. And regardless of what people may say, where it originated from, whether it originated from a pizza in Italy or a steak in Australia, or bats in Wuhan, or micro dust from outer space. Regardless, we've got to learn to live with this. And the key thing that the CMO in China was bringing out is the fact that stay healthy. Health is going to be the best form of combating these diseases. And who else knows what's coming next, Mark?
Well, but you should, of course, be relieved that our beloved Prime Minister got the very best vaccine today, or was it yesterday actually, you know, right at the front of the queue. Although, of course, Gladys in New South Wales is going to get the bog standard one that everyone else is going to get later.
The question is, Martin, I mean, I know, all I've seen is Liberal politicians get the vaccine. I mean, is that a conspiracy by the Labor Party? I don't know. I don't know.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. One rule for them and one, yeah. No, I won't go there. Now,
it's all fun and games with the shenanigans. I mean, we can continue on with the shenanigans. The next question is, Martin, when is a price guide not a price guide?
Yeah, I think it's a really good riddle. When is a price guide not a price guide? When it's not a guide.
Oh, exactly. People have got to start learning to ask the agents, not so much. Or when they do ask the agent, look, what's a price guide? And the agent says, you know, in this case, what I shared on Twitter, you know, it says 2.4. And then I said, yeah, what's the real guide, or what's the vendor's expectations? That's all we really need to be. The second question to what's the price guide is, what are the real expectations? And yeah, the agent says it. It's 10% above the guide, and then I, you know, add on another 5 to 7, 10%. Put a bit of FOMO and emotion thrown in whilst listing numbers are down. So there's your real expectations, which is far and wide between. It's a chasm between the actual guides given and the expectations, and then everything in between is what's paid on the day.
Yeah, and I still see this situation where prices are artificially low and then they come in over the reserve, and then, of course, the journos can write about prices and properties booming. But actually, even some agents are saying, look, it's not as strong as you might think.
Well, that's right, and that's the interesting thing. And this is what I like to bring to our viewers, Martin, is what the chatter on the ground, what people are saying, what agents are saying, what auctioneers are saying. And these are these discussions that I share, freely on the post and, you know, on this show. And this isn't me saying it. You know, this is one of our contacts. Spoke to the auctioneer after an auction at Gordon, and this is what he says. You know, like, spoke to the auctioneer after the Gordon auction, says the market is not as hot as everyone says. Some properties are not getting to reserve, others well above. Now, that's, yeah, it's chatter, it's whispers, it's, you know, some may say it's hearsay, but look, this is what you get on the ground. And when you talk to enough people and you get enough chatter, enough conversations of similar vein, you begin to understand that you know, people's mindset is somewhat changing. But then again, when you consider the fact that, you know, the listing numbers in a lot of areas were running almost, you know, 50% to where they are now. In some cases, they were running at a third of where they are now, and that changes the sentiment. So the chatter on the street, I think, is critical. We take a lot of that on board because we are talking to agents, we are talking to auctioneers, we're talking to many agents as we do our inspections, and we collate all this information. We try to share it. The other interesting thing is the notices that agents have been putting out of cancelled auctions and auctions going to private treaty. If it was really as hot as what the mainstream media say it is, well, you know, you take it all the way. But you can see why. In a lot of cases, they take it off the market, they take it off from the auction campaign, they may go into a private treaty campaign, or they may pull the listing out altogether because they're not really getting the expectations. Forget about the guide, they're not getting close to the expectations, which is far a big, vast difference between one and the other.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And the number of auctions that don't go ahead does seem to be increasing. And, you know, even locally around here, I've noticed the same as well. So I think that a more balanced view would say there are some hot spots around, but there are also some cold spots.
Look, it is. It's a mixed bag. But even the hot spots, I'd like to think of them more as being, they're getting to a lukewarm place, because as more listings come on in the areas, Martin, it's economies of scale. It's supply and demand. And it's a wait and see. As I've been saying to a number of our colleagues and clients and so forth, is, look, it's just a wait and see. because right now, between now and the end of March, it's only 5 weeks away. And what happens post that is going to be very interesting, and we're going to see whether, you know, some of the dust is going to settle. It's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on the numbers that come on market, particularly homes, between now and then. You stay in the market, you still talk to the agents, you still go out and do your inspections and make the offers that you're prepared to pay for the property, as opposed to what the agents are telling you, what the auctioneer wants you to pay on the day, as we've said all along. But look, it's a wait and see. Monitor the market week by week, because that's numbers don't lie. The mainstream and selling agents do.
Just occasionally, huh? Yeah, very good. Now, there's a bit of history we should talk about too, right? In terms of some interesting indicators as to what's going with property.
Oh, look, it is good. History is good. History teaches you a lot of things: what not to do, what to do, and you know what's potentially going to happen if you do something. And in this case, you know, Gough Whitlam's old house in Cabramatta was on the market, but that's one side of the coin. That's one side of the story, and it's, you know, good to know that the Labor Party or a consortium were prepared to pay. We're prepared to pay 400 or so thousand above the guide. But the other side of that coin, Martin, and tying it up with what we've been discussing, is the guide. The guide on this property was 720 to 750. It was never on the market at 720 to 750. It was never on the market, I dare say, even at 900,000, because if you do a quick search of the area, you will find that the same agency has a listing around the corner or a block and a half away from this particular home, also advertised as a knock down and build your dream home, albeit 50 square meters more. And the guide is 1,130 to 1,200 or 1,300 off the top of my head. I just can't remember. But it is the lower end of that guide is 1,130. So this one, to be on the market at 720, 750, pigs fly. The hedonic is something that the RBA should be going by, but then again, they might be going by that, and so forth, and hell's going to freeze over. But it's a BS guide. It was never on the market, and I dare say did a quick call logic indicator as to what the sales were and what's been selling and so forth, and they'd give you a general appraisal of where it would be. Even the hedonic was surprised, because even the hedonic showed a medium confidence sale of this property of 975,000. So even the hedonic was astonished by the guide that the agent was given.
Yeah, very interesting. And I suppose you could argue that it was a bit of a special property because of its history, but nevertheless, if you start from a low base point and then achieve a high base point, you're going to claim victory when in fact the victory was never really there in the first place.
That's right. You know what, Martin? I would have loved for this property to as a matter of fact, I was preparing to go to auction. I was going to be there, and it would have been really interesting. I would have got one of my clients to throw their hat in the ring that's cashed up and ready to buy, and we would have put it on. It would have been a very interesting scenario to watch, but unfortunately, the consortium bought it a couple of days before the auction, which is another video for another day.
Indeed. Yeah, well, it just shows you how these things play out. And I suppose the other point to make there is, you know, sometimes people get emotionally caught up with going after a particular property for a particular reason, nothing really to do with the fundamental value of the property. And I suppose in those situations, you do sometimes get values that are, off where you might expect them to be.
Well, that is the interesting thing. This is where, one of the we're alluding to as well, and have been for the last few months, and that is for people to seriously reflect on what's going on and help them to understand what's going on. If you look at the screenshot there of a valuation, and This is the one that I've sent you today, Martin, and the contract price was 1.5, and the valuations come in at 1.450. Now that's $50,000 lower than the actual contract price, given the fact that it was still somewhat lower than the real expectations. Now, in this case, some people say, "Oh, well, what's another $50,000?" Between friends. Well, you know, $50,000 is $50,000. $50,000 after tax, and it's $50,000 that the bank isn't going to loan you. So if the bank will lend you, a loan to value ratio on the contract price less your deposit, whereas you have to stomp up the extra $50,000 on top of that in order for the bank to lend you the money. So you might have been right at the end when you bought the property. If you bought the property, you go ahead and sign, and the valuation's coming short. Now, this is this week, Martin. This is a valuation snapshot of one of our colleagues from this week. And now, obviously, it gives us, and the reason why I show this is twofold, because you've got to be careful, obviously, what you pay for a property, given the fact that how valuers are thinking and how they're going to appraise the property themselves. But also, be mindful of the fact that, for your finances to be 150%, and be prepared to stump up for that extra bit if the valuations don't come in. Now, with our clients, what we do is we obviously work with certain mortgage brokers that are able to get valuations on properties before a formal contract is signed. Now, not every broker can do that. The brokers that we work with obviously have very high connections, and they're able to do that because, as you know, a lot of banks, the majority of the time, they won't give out or get a valuation done on a property unless they see a contract of sale. Whereas the connections that we have, we're able to make sure that all those boxes and all those checks and balances are done, because otherwise it could be in a lot of strife. Now, in this case, this was one of the valuations. The broker did two valuations on the property with a different bank, and the other bank actually came up at 1.4.
Yeah. Well, I've had some interesting conversations with a couple of valuers this last week, and there were a couple of elements to it. The first was that banks are not pushing the valuers to go higher. In fact, if anything, the banks are pushing the valuers to go a little lower, particularly coming into March. And particularly because some of the banks are beginning to say, well, we think it might be a bit wobbly now for the next 6 months or so because of the end of JobKeeper and all of those things, right? The second is that both valuers told me that on average, if they compare the valuations they're giving now with what they were doing a year plus ago before COVID came, they're on average 10 to 15% below where they were previously. Right.
That is interesting, and it would be interesting to know what areas. Again, if I obviously tease the mainstream media on my Twitter feed, and call them out on certain certain properties where they're chest beating, and trying to pump the market as it's their job to do so because they've got vested interest in the main portals, if they were only true to the to a lot of the other stories where such as the one that you just mentioned, Martin, and if they only searched deep and hard enough, but look, our viewers are a lot smarter than the average bear out there than the average cat out there, but and they're getting more educated more and more by the week. So it's information like this which becomes invaluable, and hopefully people continue to hold their ground and not be persuaded or encouraged by auctioneers on the day, and set your mark, because these 5 weeks, particularly these 5 weeks and even 4 weeks post the end of March, are going to be critical to see what's really going to, or how things are going to unfold post the end of March.
Yeah, Edwin, I agree. And interestingly, we're talking about cats and things. I have a dog at the moment who's right down here. So just hang on a moment. There we go. Come on then. Come and say hello. There we go. So this is Meteor, right? So I've raised you a dog. Right.
Hold on. Oh, I'm training Dusty and Evan to cut. Hold on. Let me see if I. Dusty. Hey, sweetheart. Dusty. Now, they don't want to borrow it.
Fair enough.
They're on the iPad. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so they're buying Bitcoin or some stuff. I don't know. Some crypto they're in. I don't know. Dogecoin. I think they're on to.
No. She's very interested in what's going on at the moment because it's a bit cool and rainy here, so she doesn't want to go outside. So there you go. So look, we've done a few rounds tonight, a few animals in passing, which is good. But I think the message for our viewers is, as we've been saying, caution, caution, caution. You know, don't believe the one-sided spruiking that's out there about everything's gone through the roof and there's a much more complicated picture. There are many examples where properties are actually not selling or selling below. And there are some fundamental risks in the market at the moment as well. And as you say, 4 or 5 weeks' time, it'll be Easter, and then we're into winter.
That's right. And let's keep an eye on the numbers. Let's keep an eye on the numbers. Numbers don't lie. Let's see what happens and let's see how keen people are moving forward. But the general chatter at the moment, the consensus is that things are slowing down, and it's a given. The early birds, they think they caught the worm at the beginning of the year, but I don't know. They'll be might be laced with a bit of poison, but who knows? It's just one of those things, Martin, that I tend to think some jumped the gun a little bit too early. That's just our thoughts based on the markets that we canvass, the markets that we're looking at, because more listings have come on, and the agents themselves are saying to us that the heat has definitely come on. And when they start calling you, when they start calling us, when they start asking us not only once but twice if we're going to be attending the auction and so forth, you know that things have changed a little bit. How much more it changes, how much more the listings grow, it's just a matter of time. Just wait and see.
Yeah, and to underscore the point you often make, and we'll make it again now, you actually get better value by buying at the right rather than hoping that you'll be able to make it when you sell.
Oh, that's right, exactly right, and it's one thing. But also, look, again, one of the things that we've touched on before, but and I just, there's, I've got some shockers of our videos, and I'm trying to work out what I'm going to do with them later on. Maybe I'll put together a full hour reel of the different, vendors' reports put out by building and pest inspectors and the ones that we obtain ourselves, and what's in your face, and yet it's not on the report, and people are just believing everything the agent's telling them. So be cautious, watch the numbers, keep an eye on the changes, and ask the questions, and remember to ask that second question after you've asked the agent for the price guide. Ask them now tell me what is the expectation.
Yeah, great advice, Edmund. Well, thanks once again for your time today, and we'll do it all again next week, I guess.
Most definitely, and hopefully we'll come up with some more examples of what's happening out there on the actual ground, Martin.
Yeah, well, as we say to our viewers, if you've got a nice story, send it to us. We often incorporate intelligence that we've received from those who follow the show. So, as always, feel free to send it. Thanks, Edwin. See you soon.
Ciao.
Bye.